Part 1. The Feels of Love. Uncle Nuke. My mother rescued a mannequin from the JCPenney dump when I was 2 years old. He was a full-bodied jewelry mannequin, fancy, distinguished. Those were the words she used. Her father, my grandfather, worked the counter day and night, slinked antique chains and strands of jade across velvet placemats, and felt the mannequin did no work for his numbers. He's pow, done. Grandfather said this with both elbows bent, a chopping motion. The mannequin would have to go. In this part of the story, my mother and I live alone in Coconut Grove, Florida. We're in a canary yellow apartment dammed with beanbag ashtrays, field mice, the guts of flashlights and remote controls. Where have all the batteries gone? Where do they go? And a shag carpet that feels sharp all the way under the shag. She is single, my mother, the crimson-mouthed mistress of my father, a white man who is back home in downtown Miami with his artist wife, his two handsome boys. Soon, my father will move my mother and me into a porn director's apartment, and then to Boca Raton, the rat's mouth, to start over. But none of us knows this yet. My mother, a Chinese-Hawaiian pocket knife of a woman, shot a man once. She tells me this story all the time, how the strange man tried to crawl through her window, naked, choking out his cock as she slipped into a nightgown. She shot him in the shoulder with a boyfriend's .357 Magnum, his body spat out like a ragdoll into the liquid black night. He landed in the street, too far to be trespassing, so she dragged him by the legs back on her lawn for more. The man was paralyzed for the rest of his life. He threatened to sue. My mother never once regretted this incident. But this is how it was in Coconut Grove in the 1980s and early 90s. Bandits, robbers, glass stems on the sidewalk, bad men doing bad under the bridge. My mother had little to defend in that first apartment of ours. A few gems from her father, frosted Christmas ornaments, her Chinese jade, some cash. But then there was me. We needed a man in our home, a figure bigger than us, she said, to scare off all the other men who would come. All of this to say the reason she rescued that mannequin, the reason she wrapped her arms wickedly tight around his waist, carrying him to the back seat of our Volvo, where the top half of his body slung out the window, his bald head pat-pattering under the rain on our car ride home. All the reasons she did anything, the wrong things, the strange things, the dangerous, the sublime, the reason she does any of it still is to protect me. Remember this. I name him Uncle Nuke. He has marble eyes, real hair feathering out from his lash line, eyebrows painted with delicate streaks, thin as needles, curved, little nail moons. He stands 6 feet tall and smells clean and metallic as the air before a Florida storm. Uncle Nuke wears a tuxedo, and under his clothes, my mother is learning to take advantage of his joints. With a simple twist pop, she detaches his torso, places him in the passenger seat of our car, buckling him gently like another child. I like staring at the dome of his bald head from the back seat. It's chipped in places, silver, flecked. We're able to drive in the HOV lane with the extra body. Three makes a family, says my mother. At least that. My father visits our apartment sometimes, at night, so late that my visions of him are smudged. There's the smell of him. Merit cigarettes, orange juice and vodka, money. The grind of his voice, the word, father. This here is your father, and hello, I'm your father. He slips up often and calls me son. Mostly, when I conjure him then and remember him now, I think of gold. Gold horse bits on the buckles of his shoes, gold buttons on sailor jackets, a gold pinky ring, the gold chain necklace my grandfather gave him from the fanciest case at JCPenney. A trade, he said, for my father to wise up and make a commitment, a Jew chain for the only Jewish man I've ever met, to turn my mother into something honorable. Before my father arrives at our apartment, my mother sits Uncle Nuke in a rocking chair near the front window. My mother likes him like this, in profile, the edges of his regal face chiseled out like a dream. Sometimes his legs lie in the corner of our living room, the trousers pressed, his knees locked into place. My mother and I like to change his socks at least once a week. We pull the bright patterns over his club feet, delicately roll the bands up his calves. This man doesn't look like he belongs in our home. He looks like he belongs to a different era, someplace far away from here, a life with white dinner gloves, niceties, an engraved cigarette case, UN, that quietly clicks closed. My father knows all about the mannequin, his practical functions, the way he wards off intruders, but I wonder still what his shadow did to my father's heart when he drove up in his white Cadillac, if it stoked something fierce enough inside him to make his temples quake, to whet his desire for my mother and me, if it was Uncle Nuke, not even a real man, who eventually made him unpack and stay. When my father moves in, I begin crawling out of my bedroom at night to visit Uncle Nuke. We meet at his rocking chair. I coil up at his feet. "Where did you come from?" I ask. I grip behind the joints of his ankles, breathing in. "I'm the one who loves you now." I press my cheek into the patent leather of his shoes. My mother has my father, and I have Uncle Nuke. In the morning, I wear the red indents of his shoelaces across my face like a map. I can't bear the thought of leaving Uncle Nuke, not for school or for walks to Biscayne Bay. I don't even like to leave whichever room he is in. I, too, learn to work his joints. Before school, I twist off one of his hands, hiding it in my lunchbox. I hold the hand as much as I can throughout my day, a horseshoe grip around the bulk of fingers. "What's wrong with the kid?" I've heard my father ask. "She doesn't get her weird from me." "She likes to hold him is all," says my mother. "You know kids, you have two others. They like to hold on to things, don't they?" Here's a memory that still comes to me. I am small, too small, thimble legs in a yellow dress. My parents are getting married tonight. There are steep steps in the lobby of the Omni Hotel, and I am expected to walk down these steps with grace, to flick flowers. My mother wears a Chinese wedding gown, a beaded headpiece like a bird of paradise. She says, "You can do this." She smiles the biggest smile of her life. My grandfather is wearing his best cufflinks, veiny green jade, proud at last. He walks me through the steps I will take. "Count. You can count, right? Everyone will love you." They do. I make my way down the stairs with oohs and ahs of delight, the pop of flashbulbs, the bastard child. My parents seem very much in love. I am old enough to know that. They dance little steps around in a square. They smear cake and lick it. My father's lips part as he squeezes my mother by her waist, their slow song tickling the water in my glass, and I am jealous of the both of them. At home, in the half-dark, I tell Uncle Nuke all about it. I say, "I guess we can keep him, if we have to."